Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going somewhere, well, truly profound. We're digging into the book of Job, chapter 39 specifically, our mission to really unpack what God reveals about the natural world there and maybe find some surprising relevance for your life today, millennia later. So the scene is set, right? Job's suffering, he's questioning, and God responds, but not with like simple answers. Instead, he points Job to the wildness of the animal kingdom. It's this incredible display of design, his sovereign care, his deep knowledge of things we just can't control. It really puts things in perspective.
Oh, absolutely. And the examples he uses are just stunning. We're talking wild goats, the wild ass just running free, this powerful creature often translated unicorn, probably a wild ox. Then you get the peacock, the ostrich, which is fascinating, the incredible war horse, and finally the hawk and the eagle. Each one shows a different facet of God's power, his purpose, and it's way beyond human logic, you know?
Exactly. And I think you'll find, as we dive in, some real aha moments, maybe a new way to see your own place in things, your connection to God. We're hoping for some practical takeaways, too. Okay, so let's unpack this. God starts asking Job these, incredibly detailed rhetorical questions, almost poetic, about animals. What's the first picture he paints?
Well, what's immediately striking is he focuses on animals totally outside human management. He starts, interestingly, with the wild goats of the rock. He asks Job, "Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or can you even watch when the deer give birth?" It immediately highlights God's intimate awareness, his involvement with life happening far from human eyes, totally wild. He knows their timing, their struggles.
Right, things we wouldn't even know are happening.
Exactly. Then he shifts to the wild ass. "Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Its home is the wilderness, the barren land. It laughs at the city noise, ignores the driver. It's completely untamed. It just drives home that nothing, however wild or seemingly insignificant to us, is off God's radar. He sees it all."
That's such a powerful start. From vulnerable birth on a cliff to this image of pure, untamable freedom. What comes next in this divine showcase?
Next up is the unicorn, which, as we said, is likely the wild ox, the aurochs maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the questions are all about its untamability. You know, will it serve you? Will it stay by your manger? Can you tie it with ropes in the furrow? Will it plow the valleys for you? And the implied answer is, of course not. Its immense strength is not for human harnessing.
Right. It's powerful, but not for us in that direct servant way.
Precisely. Then there's this really interesting pivot. He mentions the peacock's beautiful wings briefly, but then contrasts immediately with the ostrich. And the description of the ostrich is, well, blunt. God says she lacks wisdom, leaves her eggs on the ground, forgetting a foot could crush them. She's seemingly hardened against her young.
That sounds almost harsh.
It does. But then comes the twist. Yet God says when she lifts herself up to run, she scorns the horse and its rider. She's incredibly fast.
Okay. So a seeming lack of wisdom in one area, but astonishing ability in another. That's fascinating. And then the war horse, the description there is just, wow.
Oh, it's incredible. God asks Job, "Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder?" That imagery, did you give it that power, that terrifying majesty? This horse is fearless. It paws the ground, rejoices in its strength, charges into battle, laughs at fear, doesn't care about swords or rattling quivers. It says he swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. He can't stand still when the trumpet sounds. He smells the battle from far off. Responds to the commander's shouts.
Just pure, unbridled power and courage.
Exactly. And then God wraps up this section with the birds of prey. "Does the hawk fly by your wisdom, Job? Does the eagle mount up at your command?" He points out the eagle nesting high on the crag, its eyes spotting prey from immense distances, its young feed where the slain are. Again, totally wild, operating on God-given instinct, not human direction.
These descriptions are so vivid, so detailed, it really makes you stop and think. So moving beyond the imagery, what's the ancient wisdom we can pull from this? What are the deeper lessons here?
Well, I think the first big one connecting all these is that God provides for the wild and free. Think about it. The goat birthing unseen, the wild ass unbound. God's deeply involved with creatures that offer no direct benefit to humans that live outside our control. His care isn't based on utility to us. It shows he values creation for its own sake. That's huge.
That is a radical idea, actually, that things have value just because God made them and cares for them.
Definitely. And second, it shows us that strength and beauty aren't always tame or predictable. Look at the warhorse's fierce, almost uncontrollable power. Or the ostrich seems foolish, yet possesses this incredible speed. God's creation is diverse, surprising. It doesn't always fit into our neat little boxes of what makes sense or what seems good or logical.
Yeah, that ostrich example really sticks out. It seems like a flaw, the egg thing, but then this amazing strength. So our human definitions of wise or valuable might be, well, limited.
Exactly. Which leads to the third point. Wisdom doesn't always look like what we expect. The ostrich forgets her eggs, seems careless, yet she outruns a horse. It teaches us that God designs creatures, and maybe people too, with unique mixes of strengths and weaknesses, perfectly suited for their purpose, not necessarily our evaluation. Our judgment is often flawed. We miss the bigger picture, the divine design.
That's a humbling thought. We're so quick to judge based on narrow criteria.
We are. And finally, underpinning all of this is the clear message. God's sovereignty extends to the fierce and the fragile. From those goats on the cliffs to the powerful eagle soaring high, God isn't just the creator, he's the sustainer. He oversees their lives, their instincts, their very existence. And the implication, of course, is that he oversees ours too with that same detailed attention.
Okay, this is rich. So bringing this ancient wisdom into our lives today, how do these observations from Job 39 actually apply? How can they, you know, strengthen our faith, maybe encourage obedience and trust in God right now?
Oh, I think the applications are incredibly relevant. First, it's a powerful call. Don't dismiss what you don't understand. Remember the wild ox, untamable, the ostrich, seemingly foolish. Maybe there are people or situations or even parts of yourself that don't fit neatly into your expectations. This chapter urges us to find value in that diversity, even when it's confusing. It pushes us towards a more accepting, trusting heart.
So less judgment, more curiosity maybe, more trust in a bigger design.
Exactly. And closely related is the second point. Your strengths don't need to mirror others. The ostrich isn't judged for not being a good parent by our standards. Its speed is its glory. The warhorse isn't valued for being gentle. Its boldness is its purpose. It's such a vital reminder from God. Embrace your unique design. Stop the comparison game. He made you with specific gifts for his purposes. Trusting that really strengthens faith in his personal plan for you.
That's incredibly freeing, isn't it? Especially today, with comparison culture being so strong.
It really is. And perhaps even more comforting is this third takeaway. God sees what no one else sees. Think back to that wild goat giving birth on a hidden ledge. If God's attention is that detailed, that intimate, for a creature unseen by any human, then he absolutely sees you. In your most private struggles, your vulnerabilities, your lonely moments, you were never off his radar. Realizing that deepens trust immensely. It builds faith knowing you're constantly seen and cared for, which naturally encourages obedience, born from love, not just duty.
Wow, just letting that sink in. He sees.
He does. And that leads to a really practical challenge for all of us. Be in awe, not always in control. We spend so much mental and emotional energy trying to manage everything, explain everything, fix everything. Job 39 is like God saying, pause, look around, marvel, surrender. There's an order, a beauty, even in the things that feel wild or chaotic in your life. Leaning into that fosters humble reliance on him. It's a posture of trust. Of obedience.
That really hits home, that constant striving to manage. It's exhausting. Maybe awe is a better place to live.
I think so. And there's one more piece, especially perhaps, for anyone in leadership or anyone who feels that burden of responsibility. These animals teach a vital lesson. Real leadership involves observation, humility, and respecting what you cannot control. You might be smart, capable, yes, but you're not sovereign. God is. Recognizing that limitation allows us to lead and live with more wisdom, more grace, and ultimately in deeper obedience to his overarching plan.
This has been incredibly insightful, taking this journey through Job 39. It's just amazing how God uses the wildness of creation to teach us about his vast knowledge, his incredible power, but also his intimate, constant care. And realizing that, truly internalizing it, it really does have the power to strengthen our faith, doesn't it? To help us live with more trust, more willingness to follow him, even when we don't fully understand.
Absolutely. And maybe that leaves us with a question to ponder for everyone listening. Where in your life are you trying to tame something, a situation, a person, maybe even a part of yourself that God might actually intend to let run wild, asking you instead to simply trust him with it?